Welcome to On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Laura Murphy had been so busy with so many activities, including wrapping up her work as the first African-American to serve as director of the ACLU's Washington Legislative Office, that she hadn't had time to completely go through a suitcase of family photos and mementos that had been given to her by her father's cousin nearly two decades ago. Then last year, she got to the bottom of the suitcase. Laura Murphy joins us on the line from Washington. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
So tell me what you found in the suitcase.
Well, there had always been pictures and handwritten letters and playbills and concert tickets, but below all of this assorted memorabilia was a stack of letters tied with a tattered blue ribbon. And I had not paid much attention to them, and I saw that they had a date of 1871 and 1872 and 1873 on the different envelopes.
And what did they turn out to be?
They turned out to be letters of courtship between my great-grandparents, James Hughes and Mary Rebecca Lee.
I'd like to play a clip of you reading from one of the letters. It's been edited a bit.
My dear Mary, I will avail myself of this opportunity to write you a few lines. I read your kind and affectionate letter on Thursday last. I am very glad to see that you were so very happy. I was glad to hear that you arrived at your destination after getting lost. You are a very poor pioneer. Well, Mary, I'm feeling gloomy and lonely tonight. I feel as though I have roads to travel, but have but a few friends. But I trust I love one who will be a friend, and if so, that a love will be a bright light for me to walk with through everything, though everything else fails me. I trust I may not be laboring under a mistake. Please let me hear from you this week. Good night. Yours ever and truly, James.
And that was a letter that James wrote when?
October 28th, 1872.
And so they were courting in the 1870s. And where were they living? Why were they writing to each other as opposed to talking to each other?
James Hughes was born in 1848 in Halifax, Virginia. And sometime during his lifetime, he migrated to Baltimore. And he got various jobs as a caterer, and he was attempting to start a business. And Mary Rebecca Lee was born in Baltimore in 1847, and she was working in a place called Woodbury. It's now part of Baltimore City, but then it was an unincorporated area outside of Baltimore, and she was working as a helpmate and a seamstress for a woman who had a family of five children.
So what went through your mind when you found these letters?
It took me a while to figure out who they were, and then I figured out pretty quickly that those were my great-grandparents.
And what did it mean to you to be able to get this insight into their courting days?
I just thought it was fascinating. My father always talked about his grandparents, and he talked about them as well-to-do. When my father was born in 1917, both grandparents were still alive, and they had a booming catering business that my father worked in as a teenager. And he was able to see all of Baltimore, how the wealthy lived, and hear the gossip as he was in the kitchen and the people were talking about the clients being served. And he had a great deal of awe about his grandparents. He just thought that they were two of the most fabulous people that he ever knew. And Mary and James had five daughters, and one of those daughters was my grandmother, Grace. But the sisters were notorious. They were all married very well. They were very prosperous compared to the average African-American family because the catering business was doing so well, and Mr. Hughes gave his daughters allowances even after they married, so they all had their own money. So to get these letters and to hear them talk to each other when they had nothing, and when they were struggling to find a place to live, and he was worried whether or not he was well-born enough to marry her. I mean, this was just a fascinating insight because it was a side of them that I don't think my father even knew about.
Your family certainly is distinguished. Many of our listeners know of your brother, Billy Murphy, the defense lawyer and former judge. Your father was a Maryland District Court judge. Your mother was on WJZ-TV Square Off with Richard Scher, and your ancestors started the Afro-American newspaper. And you have a great aunt, an artist who's represented at the new National Museum of African-American History and Culture. Tell us about her.
That's on my mother's side of the family. Her name is Laura Wheeler Waring, and I'm named after her. I'm Laura Wheeler Murphy. And she was a portrait painter in the early to mid 20th century. And she won something called the Harmon Gold Medal, which allowed her to select African Americans of note to paint. And so she painted W.B. Du Bois and James Weldon Johnson. And she painted landscapes and all kinds of things, but she was known for her portraiture. There's a portrait in the new museum called The Girl in the Red Dress. And she looks like a femme fatale, this woman. She's a young woman with a red dress that's off the shoulders. The thing I love about my Aunt Laura's paintings is that she painted people with a great deal of dignity, and she was just in love with the various shades of African American. So from dark, dark skin to light, almost white skin, she could capture the red or the blue or the yellow undertones in complexions like nobody else I know. And I think the reason she's important is because African Americans during the early and mid-20th century often did not sit for portraits. And she felt it was important that African Americans be shown as people of stature, as people with education, people with dignity. And you can see a lot of her paintings at Cheney State College in Pennsylvania, where she taught for over 30 years. But the Smithsonian's now have a dozen of her paintings dispersed through the National Portrait Gallery, the New African American Museum, and other places.
Dignity. I've only read excerpts of a few of your great-grandparents' letters, but they seem very formal and very dignified. Where are the letters, and what are you doing with them?
I have the letters in a notebook that has plastic sleeves so that they will be protected. They're very delicate, and they have been probably folded and untouched for at least a century. And so when I opened them up to read them, I had to be very careful not to make sure that the paper didn't tear along the creases. I would like to write about these two individuals who worked themselves out of poverty, but I'd also like to research more about them. I want to know how 8 years after the Emancipation Proclamation and 6 years after the Civil War, two African Americans had such mastery of the English language, used a sophisticated sentence structure, and, you know, had an appreciation of social formalities. They were both born during slavery, but how did they get educated? That's what I want to know. Where did they learn to read and write? Were they descendants of freed blacks who existed at the time? Or were they raised inside a home alongside white children and received the education along with them? Education was so crucial for the ability of African Americans to take advantage of their newly found freedom. This was a very, very hostile environment for African Americans. There was a period of Reconstruction, which, you know, gave certain rights, but they were quickly taken back by Jim Crow laws that undermined the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. And so they flourished in a very short period of relative freedom, and then they established their business in a period of great hostility, of very harshly enforced segregation, where lynchings were commonplace. How they survived is interesting to me. So for now, I'm going to hold on to the letters, but eventually I would like to give them to the museum if they would have them, so that African Americans during the Victorian period, there can be a window into the lives of African Americans who were allowed to operate like this, who were educated like this, because that's just not the common image that you have of African Americans during the period.
I really appreciate your talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Laura W. Murphy. She is a fellow at Harvard University's Advanced Leadership Initiative. She found her great-grandparents courting love letters. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Have a great day.